between teaching and preaching. He said, I didn't use the word shush, but that's good, Sarah. Thank you for that. I said you didn't have to answer. Okay, Doug, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's the difference between teaching and preaching? Never heard that before. No. Okay. Say that again. Preaching is... Okay. Never heard that. I've heard a lot of different things, but I've never heard that before. Bob has something to say. I know he does. Go ahead, Bob. So how do I handle both? Okay. Yes. Yes, James. Okay. You're all a little right. You're all a little right. Jeff. Well, got a chapter and verse for that? No, there's no chapter and verse for a lot of what you're saying. Bob, yes, teachers, pastors, teachers. But a pastor is to preach and to teach in the book of Ephesians. Pastors, teachers. Well, so yeah, we got to do it all. But I'm going to give you a little thought here tonight on this. Personally, I believe that preaching and teaching, they go together. And in every sermon or whatever, however you want to put it, even when I'm doing a discipleship class, there's a little preaching that goes in that also. I will say it's hard to differentiate between the two. They really blend together. They should blend together. I've heard pastors say, well, I'm only a preacher, not a teacher. Well, then, no, that's not right. I've heard people say that I only teach and I don't preach. Well, if you get up in front of people and you've got the Word of God in front of you and you're doing any kind of a teaching, you're going to be putting some preaching in there whether you know it or not. I don't have a clear definition between the two. What you all said was somewhat right. I have no problem with that. But I'm going to just give you some thoughts tonight on teaching. Because the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 33, if you're there, let me read that to you. Psalm 119, I'm going to read the 8 verses, so why don't you stand with me as I read 33 down through 40. Psalm 119, 33. Teach me, O God, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Father, thank you for the passage of Scripture I just read. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight about teaching the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you bless us and be with us and help us through the Word of God tonight. Again, fill us with the Holy Spirit, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I personally don't want to get to the point where I am strictly going against people for teaching and or preaching, because that the Bible uses both phrases. Matter of fact, the Bible uses the word teach more than it does to preach. Now, some preachers would get a little nervous about that, but it does. So what I want to do tonight is, as the psalm writer said in verse 33, teach me, O Lord. So we need to be taught something. In the next 8 verses in this passage of Scripture, I believe that the psalm writer is teaching us something about the Word of God. We all know that Psalm 119 is about the Word of God, right? It is exclusively for the Word of God and God of the Word. That's what Psalm 119 is. And so the psalm writer says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. So how important is teaching the Word of God? If that verse says, teach me, O Lord, so I can keep it to the very end, it's very important that we're that you are taught the Word of God, that I'm taught the Word of God, that we're all taught the Word of God. The difference between preaching and teaching is that preaching is primarily geared toward life change. This is what some writer wrote. I just jotted it down. While teaching is primarily aimed at transferring knowledge. That's what that preacher thought that the difference between the two was. He's not right. I mean, he's not wrong. He's right in that sense. Preaching is more of exhortation and invitation, while teaching is more explanation. You're explaining things. But you can preach and teach at the same time. You guys that are, coming up in preaching and you're trying to preach the Word of God, when I sit and listen to you guys do it, young and old, you're doing both at the same time. Whether you think you are or whether you realize it or not, you're doing both at the same time. You're teaching the Word of God and you're preaching the Word of God at the same time. Sometimes we get it in our head that preaching is somebody running all over the place, screaming and yelling and jumping over pews and all that. Oh, that guy's a great preacher. Well, is he teaching anything from the Bible? Or is he just trying to move the emotions? Is he just trying to do something in that way? I believe that they both go together. And I know that Rich, when I hear Rich preach, he's not only preaching, he's teaching something. He's bringing something to light. When I hear you other guys, you do the same thing. Look at Matthew 11:1. Matthew 11:1. Did Jesus teach or preach? He did both, didn't he? Amen. Matthew 11:1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. So was Jesus doing both, preaching and teaching? Yes, absolutely. Was he doing it at the same time? I think he was. I don't think Jesus was going along and saying, okay, folks, I'm going to teach you something now, and then talk, and then, oh, stop, whoop, not going to teach anymore. I'm going to preach now. I don't think Jesus did that. I've never really heard a pastor or a preacher say that. If they want to teach on something, they're going to preach at the same time. So it is. These things, they go together. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts 5:42. What I'm trying to tell you all is get those preconceived notions out of your head about certain things that have been placed there over the years. And I know that we all think we're right. We all think we've got the answers to most things. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, it says, and daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to do what? Teach and preach Jesus Christ. So how do you teach and preach? Well, you're expounding, you're explaining, you're exhorting, you're trying to, the preacher is trying to do both at the same time. Ladies that teach I'll even use the word preach for ladies when they're going to ladies' conferences in different places and doing things and trying to help other ladies. Believe it or not, you're doing the same thing. You're trying to exhort. You're trying to lift up. You're trying to explain. You're trying to give out scripture. You want to encourage. That's what we constantly do. Go back to our text in Psalm 119. In verse 33, again, it says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Now, what is a statute? Well, the word statute, in a biblical sense or use, is a law or a decree made by God. That's what a statute is, a law or a decree made by God. The psalmist uses the word statutes, meaning to inscribe or to cut into. That's what the meaning of this is. This refers to the everlasting nature of scriptures. Do we believe that the Bible is an everlasting, eternal book? Yes, we do. And so today we would use the phrase, that's set in stone. Have you ever heard that phrase? That's set in stone. That's kind of like the statute that we have. It's set in stone. The Bible statutes set boundaries for life. God, our Creator, knows our needs and what is best for us. The Bible is to be preached and taught. That's what we are to do. Preach it and teach it. Again, teaching leads to keeping the Word of God unto the end. The end of our life, the end of our journey here. The teaching of the Word of God prepares us for our eternal home in heaven. That's what teaching the Word is. Just as the teaching that we receive early in life helps us later on in life, right? I mean, Liz is teaching Titus and Sarah and her family. They're teaching Amelia and Watson and, you know, what other little kids we got running around here. They're all being taught now. What are you trying to? You're trying to teach them because of what they need in life later on. You teach them how to walk so they can walk the rest of their life. You teach them how to talk so they can talk the rest of their life. You teach them how to eat so they can eat the rest of their life. Teaching is instruction. That's what it is. It's just giving out instruction. Jesus taught his disciples, and he taught those that followed and listened to him. Parables primarily were teachings, right? That Jesus would give as he was involved in just teaching the people. He'd give out parables. He taught them in the boat, in the ship, on the shore, wherever he was, in a synagogue. He'd go in, he'd teach. But at the same time, he was preaching also by trying to make people make a decision. A lot of preaching is that. We're trying to get people to make a decision on something. We're trying to invite them to change maybe something in their life. But teaching can be the same thing. You teach a truth, you're teaching it to try to allow the people or that person that you're trying to teach to make that change in their life. Go back to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 28. Just have some scripture to look at before we're going to go through each of the verses there in Psalm 119 and just give out a truth on each of the verse. Matthew 7:28. 7:28, Matthew, it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." What was he doing? He was teaching them. But they were astonished at the teaching of Christ. Mark chapter 4, verse 2. Mark 4, 2. Mark chapter 4, verse 2, we talked about the parable this morning of the sower and the seed and the soil. And it says in this verse, in verse 2, it says, "And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine." And then he went through and he taught the parable of the sower. So he was teaching that. In verse 3, it says, "Hark and behold, there went out a sower to sow." And so he's teaching on that parable. But I took that parable this morning and I preached it. Jesus taught it, I preached it. So we both were in agreement on that. Not only did I preach it, but I taught something about it too as we went through that. According to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And verse 5, Deuteronomy 4, 5. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it." So Moses is expounding. He is teaching. He is saying how much he's taught the people over the years. And Moses, I think, was a great teacher. They didn't always do what he told them or what he taught them, but he was a good teacher. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 22. Deuteronomy 31, 22. How about the songs, the hymns that we sing? Can you learn anything from them? Amen. Amen. Look what Moses says, or the Bible says about Moses and the song that he wrote. Moses, verse 22, "Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel." When we teach a song, there's a purpose behind teaching the song. You want to learn the song, but you want to gain something from it. You want to maybe live what the song is saying. That's all part of the teaching and preaching. Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah 8. Nehemiah 8, and look at verse 9. Nehemiah 8, 9. Nehemiah 8, 9 says, "And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites, that taught the people, and said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." So Nehemiah and Ezra were teaching the word of God. Do you see how important it is to teach the word of God? Not only just preach it, but to teach it also. Put them together. Make sure that you were teaching and preaching the word of God. Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Psalm 71, look at verse 17. "O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." And so the psalm writer makes that statement there, that how God has taught him from his youth. How important is it to train our young people? How important is it to train our teenagers, earlier than teens, the truths of the Word of God? It's vitally important, that teaching that we need to look at. Go back to Psalm 119 again, but look at verse 171. Psalm 119, verse 171. "My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes." Proverbs 4. A little Bible exercise tonight. Proverbs 4, verse 4. Read this today, didn't we? Proverbs 4, 4. "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." So it's important for us to teach the Word of God. It's important for us to learn the Word of God. Go over to the New Testament, Titus chapter 1. Titus 1. And verse 9. Titus 1, 9. "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." The teaching of the Word of God is vital today. There's a lot of it that is not going on. God's Word is not being taught properly today in a lot of churches. A lot of Sunday schools are not teaching the Word of God like they should. So don't divorce yourself from the teaching is one thing and preaching is a whole different thing else. Let's not do that. Let's make sure that we combine them both and believe that they're both needful and useful for our growth as a Christian. Then they are. We need them both. We've got to have the teaching of the Word of God. We got to have the preaching of the Word of God. Now, Paul does warn Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says this, and he puts a different, a little spin on this a little bit. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." And so there could be a danger there as far as what Paul was telling Timothy, that if we're not preaching the Word of God, people can be turned to teachers that are just giving out what they want to hear. We have to be careful about that. And again, today there are some people out there. I've seen them. I've heard them on the Internet. You can find anything on YouTube. You can find anything on the Internet today. And the problem is a lot of Christians spend too much time on YouTube and on the Internet trying to find all this stuff. And, and because they're curious and they're looking up this, they're looking up that, they heard something, they heard some, maybe some friend said, hey, did you hear about this guy on YouTube? And boy, he's got some great stuff. And so you got to go and search on it, and you got to find it, and you got to bring it up, and you got to listen to it. And if he's not teaching the right thing, you can be extremely, you can be led away. You can be led astray. Known a lot of Christians that have been led astray because they looked up something on the internet and they found the wrong thing. Amen. And there are a lot of teachers today that are just itching people's ears. They're just giving a little, hey, this sounds, yeah, this sounds pretty good. This sounds right. Use caution with that. Just read your Bible. You don't need the internet. You don't need YouTube unless you're, you know, this morning I said, look up Redeeming Hope. You should do that. Find that movie and watch it, Redeeming Hope by Caleb Garaway. He directed it. Outstanding, outstanding movie. Look that up on YouTube, but then after that, get rid of YouTube. Now, you can find a lot of good stuff on YouTube if you're trying to fix something, do something. I have found things that was able to fix because I found it on YouTube. I guess you can do that, but be careful what you're doing. It's important that you're just careful. But again, taught is mentioned 81 times in Scripture. Preach is mentioned 50 times in Scripture. Doesn't mean that we teach more than we preach. Again, we have to have a happy medium here. We have to combine them both within what we're trying to say and what we're trying to do. Let's go back to our text, and I'm going to just go through the rest of this little passage. Might get you out of here in time for ice cream. I don't know. Psalm 119:33 again, but we're going to pick up in verse 34. Just give you some quick thoughts on each of these verses about teaching. How important is it that we teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God? Yes. But verse 34 says, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. And so teaching gives us understanding to be able to keep the entire law and observe it with our whole heart. Is that bad? No. That is what these eight verses are dealing with. It's dealing with the teaching of the Word of God. So, again, we can keep the law and observe it with our whole heart. That's important. That's what we need Christians today who just dive into the Word of God and they're being taught by the Holy Spirit and by God, and the Holy Spirit is directing them. And God, I need understanding in the Scriptures. I have to pray that all the time. You need to pray that also. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. How are you going to keep the Word of God if you don't have the understanding, if you're not being taught the understanding from the Word of God? You're not going to be able to do that. That's why it's important to spend time in the Word of God. It's important to read the Word of God and study the Word of God and being taught by the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. And I'll do the best I can, but I'm far from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I walk away from a message and say, Lord, I did the best I could, I think. I have to say that. Lord, I did the best I could. I think I did the best I could. I don't know, Lord. The rest is up to you. But again, and it says in that verse, in verse 34, I shall observe it with my whole heart. God wants your whole heart. He wants my whole heart. That's what He wants. And the teaching of the Word of God will be able to give us that, what we need in order to live our lives, to run our families, to be the witnesses and testimonies that we need to be, to make good decisions and have the wisdom that we need. It comes from the teaching of the Word of God. Verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. And so teaching keeps us on the path of the commandments. We're studying the Ten Commandments in Sunday school, going through them. We finished up commandment number 3 this morning, and we'll continue to go through the commandments in our Sunday school time. But that's something that we need to be taught. And again, the teaching keeps us on the path of the commandments. Is it wrong to keep the commandments? Absolutely not. Keeping the commandments is not going to get you into heaven. We all know that. You know that. I know that. It's not keeping the commandments that get you to heaven. It's because I'm going to heaven and I'm trying to keep the commandments. Amen. It makes me a better Christian. It makes me a better father, a better husband, a better individual, a better employee if you have a job, a better of everything if you're keeping or at least attempting to keep the commandments of God. But that's what the commandments do, is Moses taught the people from God. God gave them to Moses, and Moses gave them to the people, and they were being taught that. And so that teaching keeps us on the path of the commandments. Verse 36. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Yeah. Do you know that teaching keeps my heart in God's testimonies? And teaching, the teachings of the Word of God, helps me fight that thing called covetousness. We all wrestle with that. We all wrestle with that. We all, sometimes, let's admit it, we have to fight that thing every day of our life practically. Because it's easy to become covetousness when it comes to things that we want. We will connive, sometimes we'll lie to get what we want. We'll do anything that we can to try to get those things that we want in our life. And yet the teaching of the Word helps to keep my heart in tune with God's testimonies. And in turn, with that, it'll help me with my covetousness. I still have to learn to be content with the things that I have. And the teaching of God's Word, and helps me. Again, it says, incline my heart. Well, how is your heart going to be inclined to do that? Through the teaching of the Word of God. Verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. And so here in verse 37, very simply, again, it's teaching keeps my eyes from beholding those empty, those vain, those worthless. I'm not going to say it again because I'm going to mess it up again. Teaching, again, helps keep my eyes from beholding those empty things, those vain things. I'm not going to say worthless. That are meaningless. I joked on that one. And gives me life in the way of life. And so the teaching of God's Word helps me in those areas. It helps you in those areas of your life. It helps us to stay away from the vanity. What did the preacher say in Ecclesiastes? Vanity, vanity. All is vanity, saith the preacher. And here's Solomon, the wisest man on earth, and he just realized going through life that everything that he did was vanity. He ended up getting to the last chapter of his letter there, and he realized that keeping the commandments of God, well, let's turn there and see what it says. We know what it says, but I want to read it exactly the way it says. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verses 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and everything and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. That's what God expects from us. That's what God wants from us, is to fear God and keep His commandments. Everything else is vanity. Everything out there is vanity. Everything out there is vanity, folks. It's empty. But the teaching of God's Word helps me to turn my eyes away from that stuff that's vain. Things out there that's lustful and covetousness. And by studying God's Word and being taught the Word of God, it helps us with that weakness that we have, the sin that we have, the sin of covetousness and the sin of lust, the sin of all kinds of things that our eyes are beholding that maybe they shouldn't be beholding. Job had to make a covenant with his eyes that he wouldn't even think upon a maid. He had to make a promise with his eyes not to look upon a woman in a wrong way. Us men need that advice, need to be taught that from the Scriptures. Verse 38 of Psalm 119. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. And so the teaching of God's Word establishes the Word that we need in the servants of God so we can have that biblical fear that we need to have. We all need to fear the Lord. The Bible instructs us throughout the Word of God that we need to fear the Lord. I like the way Webster defines to fear the Lord. It's having a holy awe of God in such a way that you will not offend God in any way. That's the true fear of God, is loving God so much that you will not offend Him in any way. Fear equals love, and love equals fear. When you and I truly love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, strength, we are going to be less apt to offend Him in any way of our life, with any kind of sin whatsoever, thought, deed, or word. That the teaching of the Word of God establishes us and helps us with that. Verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. And so teaching helps to get rid of that shame and disgrace, which is likely to come by being a believer in Christ. Sometimes in our life, we are out there in the world, or we have a job somewhere, and people know that you're a believer, and they make fun of you, and they try to bring disgrace to your name. It happened to me when I worked years ago in industry. But the Word of God helps us with that. We're simply just serving God, and we're trying to obey His Word. And so teaching helps to get rid of that shame and disgrace, which will come at times when you're out there serving in the world and you're trying to be the Christian that you need to be, and you're trying to be the example and the testimony that God wants you to be. The teaching of the Word of God is there for that purpose. The Word of God is good and helpful to us. As a Christian, you and I cannot function without it. It's our daily spiritual food. How many of you ate something today? Put your hand up. You ate something. Oh yeah, most every hand went up in here. Not every hand, but most every hand went up in here. You ate something today. What it was, don't know. Could have been good, could have been not so good. How many of you tonight, when you leave church, you get home, you're going to have some little snacky poo before you go to Betty poo? Oh yeah, most all hands are going to go up. You're going to have something, even little Polly. What are you going to have tonight, Polly? Ice cream? All right. Yes, we're gonna have a little something. We eat our food. We like our daily food, and we have certain foods that we love and we enjoy eating. Well, how is the Scriptures? They need to be your daily food also. We should go home from a church service like this, and we should snack on the Word of God. Spend some time thinking about God's Word through the day. Tomorrow morning you get up. Some of you, I'm not a breakfast eater, but some of you, how many of you eat breakfast every day without fail practically? A few of you, not too many. Some of you eat breakfast. I don't. You can tell me afterwards how wrong I am, but I'm not a breakfast. I'm not hungry in the morning. So I figured, why eat if I'm not hungry, right? But when I get hungry, I like to eat something. We should be hungering the Word of God every day. Every morning you ought to get up. Some of you are really hungry in the morning. That's why you got to eat in the morning, right? So when you get up in the morning, you're physically hungry, but are you spiritually hungry? Do you want the Word of God even more than your necessary food? That's what we ought to strive for, to spend that quality time in the Word of God. God expects you to eat your food. Yes, yes. He gave us food to eat. We need to eat to fuel our body. And so that's what food is supposed to do. It's supposed to fuel our body, not just fill our body, but to fuel it. We all know that. Do we do it? No. Then the last verse, and we'll be done here tonight. Wow, yeah, going to be done before 7. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. The teaching of God's Word is to be so that the people of God want to hear and heed it. You ought to want to hear the Word of God and heed what the Bible says. Behold, I've longed after thy precepts. Quicken me. That means make me alive in thy righteousness. We should enjoy the Word of God. We should enjoy the teaching and preaching of God's Word. There is all kinds of different preachers and teachers out there. All different kinds. We have all different kinds in this pulpit, in this church over the years. All different kinds. And they've all been a blessing to me, and I get something out of everybody that stands behind this pulpit. Our own men that preach here, I get something out of that. There's always something to learn. When you're looking to learn something, we should always be striving to do that. I go to church to learn something. Well, how do you learn? You're being taught. You're being taught from the Scriptures. You have the Scriptures being opened up. You have somebody gets up, they expound the scriptures, whether you call it preaching or teaching, it's the same thing. I don't try to sit there and separate the two and say, well, this is teaching and this is preaching and I don't do this and I don't do that, but I got to do that. I can't do that. That's too complicated for me. What I do is I teach and preach the Word of God. You want to try to separate that all out and figure that all out? Have at it. You can do it. I'm not going to do that. I believe that the Word of God is to be taught and preached at the same time in some way, shape, or form. And I believe that's what the psalm writer was telling us. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. How important is that? Father, thank you again for teaching us the Word of God. Thank you for giving us the Word of God. And thank you for the psalm writer writing this down about the teaching of the Word of God. It's so vitally important for all of us to be taught the Word of God. It's important for us to sit down and read the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you for that. We pray that you bless this time. If there's a spiritual need here tonight, Lord, we pray that it'll be met at the altar or maybe at the seat of that individual. Lord, whatever you decide that you want for them, I just pray that they would listen to you and they would obey you. If there's somebody here tonight that's not saved, we pray for their salvation. Lord, work in all of our hearts and souls, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. If you need to come tonight for something, you come.